Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello, this is Cal Hackeman. I'm your host for Metro Raleigh Business Radio today. Welcome, Reed. Reed's our producer today. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Cal. How are you?
All right. So we have a great show today. We will be talking to several interesting business leaders from Raleigh, Wake Forest, and the surrounding areas. So let's go ahead and meet our guest and get our show started. Our first guests are Chip and Betty Fudge with TossTheBoss.today, and we will be talking some more about that, I'm sure. Chip and Betty are franchise consultants who match new and veteran franchise owners with America's best and fastest growing franchise systems. Good afternoon, Chip and Betty.
Thanks, Cal. We're really delighted to be here this afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Hey, we're looking forward to it. Thank you, Cal.
Glad to have you. Next, we have Zach Bishop. Zach is a partner with the law firm of Wyrick Robbins. Zach's practice is concentrated on technology and corporate transactions, including licensing and distribution of intellectual property. He does some mergers and acquisitions work. He does some joint ventures. And he also does general corporate matters. And what we're going to be talking about to a fair extent today is the fact that his practice includes representing the prominent video game and middleware developers. So good afternoon, Zach.
Hi, Cal. Thanks for having me.
And our third guest is Ben Hartmere, the CEO and president of InMotion Now. InMotion Now is a leading provider of workflow solutions for enterprise creative departments. Their SaaS solutions enable businesses to better manage production workflows and get creative content to market faster. So, Ben, how are you?
I'm excellent, Cal. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here. And, Ben, we're going to actually get the show started today by talking to you. So, InMotion is a workflow automation application for enterprise creatives. Can you tell us what all that means?
Yeah, sure. So for us, for our creative teams, their workflow starts when they get a request to create new assets, and that continues through the content and upload and review process. So it really starts at Advanced Auto is actually one of our existing clients, and what they're managing is the intake process, so how creative requests come in to the pipeline, and a lot of times that's happening in pop-up meetings and the like. And then once you have a request that's accepted, now you have to figure out who you're going to assign that to. You want to have good insight into who's working on what and when. So that's the second core thing that we deliver. And then the third is around review and approval. And that's really where we got started. But that's if you have an updated web page or any kind of updated advertising and promotional content, you're going to want to go in and send that out to the team. And as part of that process, get good feedback so that you can get the asset out there, out to market. So our application allows you to come in, upload that asset, and then mark it up and pass it along almost like you would pen to paper.
So this is a lot about marketing and creative development and keeping that process on track and making it work.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Cal.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about InMotion Now's history. How did you guys get started, and what was the driving force behind the company and the product?
So the driving force is actually was an idea that our chief product officer and our founder, Rob Munns, had back when he was down in Naples, Florida. So the company is about 15 years old, started down in Naples, when Rob had a design company. And part of the challenge that he was dealing with as a business owner was going out and getting that feedback. So he would have to go from business to business, carrying the proofs around to get that feedback. So he thought, well, what if we move this content online? And so the company started back in 99, as mentioned, down in Florida, as Proof It Online. And as the years have gone on, our client base has grown and their needs have grown. So we have gone with that. We came up, though, to the Triangle about 8 years ago, because the talent that we've seen here, or the ability to go out and grab good people, sure. It's a little easier here in the Triangle than it is in along the Naples, Florida area. Yeah, so
I would think so. Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that. We had the chief people officer from Red Hat on a show the other day, and she was talking about how much better it's getting to be able to get talent, and how, you know, talent sort of circulates around here in the Raleigh Research Triangle area now, and that's a big plus for a lot of the tech companies. So
no, that's the truth. I'm actually originally from Boston, and you see a lot of folks that are coming down from the New England area. Maybe not today because we're not having such great weather today, but you know, you can leave your shovel behind. There's a lot of good companies down here.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what is unique about the problems that InMotion solves for your customers.
So I touched on it a little bit, but it's the fact that we pioneered this concept of creative workflow so that that teams are able to get creative content out to market faster. So when teams are coming to us, a lot of times they don't have a good visibility into where they are in their project life cycle. So it's taking them a lot longer to get creative content out there. And so if you can imagine, if I go back to the advanced auto description, on a day like today where you need some windshield wipers, if you're going to go out and create that promotional material, if you can get it done faster, then inventory turn moves that much more quickly, right?
So absolutely.
What we're looking at doing is helping those teams shrink down the amount of effort and time that it takes to get the website updated, or if you're coming up to a holiday season, get that in-store signage up faster so that you're selling relevant products, services, or whatever it may be. So it's the goal of really just lighting the candle on both ends of getting content out more quickly and reducing cost, but then driving additional revenue as a result of getting that promotional material out to your clients.
Well, in a world where things happen faster and faster and faster, it sounds like this would be a great product.
That's
because,
exactly right.
You know, it basically what you're saying is it allows folks to respond to what's happening in the real world sort of in real time almost.
That's a great point, Cal. I mean, you're seeing a lot going on with social media and companies needing to quickly respond to either an opportunity or in some instances things that might be a little bit negative against the company. So having that ability to go in and quickly respond to these types of requests, a concept of agile marketing, it's something that we absolutely support.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, you mentioned one of your clients. Can you share some of the other companies that are using InMotion these days?
Yeah, we're pretty proud of the kind of household brands that are using the application. We've got Advanced Auto was the one that I'd mentioned. We have Walt Disney is an existing client of ours, DuPont, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Phoenix Suns. We've got a couple of others, AMC Networks. So when you see the Breaking Bad commercials that go out there, there are 20-second bumper ads between the next week on Breaking Bad. That's the kind of content that is that we're all very familiar with. That's running through our tools.
Wow, you got some. You really do have some household names there. Congratulations, that's terrific. Well, you were recently selected by CED as one of the Triangle's fastest growing companies. So congratulations on that. I understand you got to do a presentation at the Tech Venture Conference. And what's the post-conference response been like to that?
That's been great. So the Tech Venture Conference was an opportunity for us to get up on stage and share our story a little bit. But as a result, I'd like to say that we're kind of no longer one of the Triangle's best-kept secrets. We're a growing company. We've grown about 300% over the last 12 months and have done it through the help of some pretty terrific people that are part of our team. So it's we're pretty pleased with kind of the growth that's been happening, and that conference was an opportunity for us to get up on stage and share it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about driving that growth. So what have you been doing and what will you be doing to continue to drive growth and get customers?
That's a great question. So a lot of it has to do with the process that we have, and that's in everything and how we help determine whether we're a good fit for our clients all the way through getting them onboarded and the like. But the process is obviously backed by good people. So we've got a lot of really talented folks that we give a lot of leeway in how they manage their day. I think that's what really has led to the growth is the skill set of the people that we have in InMotion.
And are you able to use your own process for your own creative development?
That's good. Yeah, if you're not eating your own dog food, right? We do. We use it for everything from our own creative content all the way down to the development team in creating new and fun pieces for InMotion.
Well, we hope that having you here on Business Radio X will help get the word out some more, so you will be even less of a well-kept secret,
awesome.
As you say. So,
great. Thanks, Gail.
I understand you're seeking some additional capital for your company. Now, we are not a fundraising show here, but I am curious to get your take on the availability of investment capital in our area, which is something that there's a lot of talk about here.
That's great. And so I can speak from my experience, as probably some folks, as well as our guest here from WIREC, that is a kind of maybe finger on the pulses and a broader brush of opportunities. But we've seen a lot of interest. I think there's, the economy's obviously doing a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do a lot better with a growing company like ours than you will parking that money in a bank account. So I think we're seeing that if you can tell a good story and there are good people behind it and there's certainly enough of a market opportunity, then there's plenty of folks out there that want to be part of that story. So we've seen good acceleration and a lot of good response coming off of that Tech Venture Conference.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. And you've mentioned several times the good people behind your idea, behind your company. And we hear over and over and over on this show that the investors look first at the people, and they want to be comfortable with the team. And then they look at, what it is, the product or the service, and they look at the business plan and whatever. So it sounds like you've got that pretty much nailed down. Well, tell us how somebody who's interested in talking further with you about InMotion Now can get in touch with you.
Great. So we are obviously on the web. We're at InMotionNow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, InMotion Now, and Facebook as well. Otherwise, I'll give you our 800 number, and it's 1-888-462-8044.
All right, Ben. Well, it's been great talking with you, and I'm going to move on and talk with one of our other guests, and then I'll probably be back in a little bit.
Great. Thanks, Cal.
So, Zach, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. You work with quite a few companies that are just getting started here in the Triangle, and I suspect that some of those companies are pretty similar to InMotion Now. Does Ben's story of getting InMotion Now started sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar. We have a really good ecosystem of startup companies in this area, and I feel like a lot has been done to help foster that, and a lot is being done to help grow that.
So tell us just a little bit about WIREC and what goes on at WIREC and what your focus is there at the firm.
Sure. WIREC, our tagline, so to speak, is we're an entrepreneurial law firm for growth-based companies. So our kind of model is we grow as our clients grow. We started out probably about 30 or so years ago. Our founders, who saw this area, was underserving entrepreneurial clients. Most law firms are representing banks and insurance companies and other institutions like that. But what our founders found was that, the person who's starting a company in their garage or wants to have a growth-based business was not having a place to go. So, it started out with a handful of guys, and as our clients have grown, we've grown. Now we're 75-plus attorneys.
And you're certainly one of the household names here in the Raleigh area, I think, among the entrepreneurial community. At least that's what I hear. So congratulations.
Thanks.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the biggest challenges that you see for the startup companies here in the Triangle.
Yeah, I think the challenge is probably not much different than what you see around the country. It's funding. It's often easier for startups to get, friends and family funding and angel investment for your first, six figures of investing. But then after that, to go to the next step when you need $1 million+, that's where a lot of companies run into challenges in this area and around the country, in this area especially.
And what resources are available for companies, not only in fundraising, but for entrepreneurial startup companies in general here in the area? How are we doing on that front?
We're doing great on that front. As you mentioned earlier, CED, the Council for Entrepreneurial Development, was formed here several years ago, and the mm-hmm. business leaders in the area had the foresight to do that. And that's a great resource for startups to go to get mentors, ideas of how to seek funding. They put on great programs, great conferences. In addition to that, there are also a lot of other institutions in the area. The American Underground, for example, is a co-working space, slash kind of entrepreneurial encouragement space mm-hmm. that's based in the American Underground in Durham, as well as there's one on Main Street in Durham, plus now one in Raleigh. as well as HQ Raleigh, which again is an incubator type that has co-working space for startups and gives startups a lot of resources to where they can meet other entrepreneurs, meet people that can give them money, service providers, et cetera.
So I know you're from Durham, right? And you,
that's right.
You actually work in Ryrick's Durham office. So it must seem particularly nice for you to be able to brag a little bit about some resources in Durham in addition to the resources that are over here in Raleigh.
Yeah, it's great. We've had an office in American Tobacco District for over a year now, and just having grown up in Durham and seeing how it's changed has been quite amazing, and it's really neat to see. When I was growing up, Durham was, yeah, it's kind of a small town. You had the universities and RTP was nearby, but Durham itself downtown was, you know, government related. If you had to go to the courthouse for whatever reason, that was about the only reason you went downtown. But now it's been wonderful with what's happened with the businesses moving in, the startup companies, the restaurants, the bars. I mean, it's just amazing. Every time you drive through Durham, you see something new. And we at Wyrick are excited to be a part of that, you know, being an American Underground, just trying to be there to help kind of tap into some of that energy and support the people down there.
Sounds like you're right in the middle of it, right in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
So when a new startup comes into your office, what's the first thing you tell them to do?
You know, the first thing, it may sound kind of basic, is that, you know, I ask them, you know, your name, the company you have in mind, your URL, your domain name. Have you searched that yet? Have you looked to the U.S. and, you know, trademark website to see if that's being used? Because oftentimes what startups do is they'll get married to a name early on and, you know, they'll use it for months or have this whole product or services built around it, and they don't realize that somebody else is using that name. Somebody else has the trademark registration for that name. But that's, again, a pretty basic thing, but that's often where people run the trouble early on.
And they always follow your advice, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So let's talk about the flip side. What are the one or two big mistakes that you see startups make from a legal perspective that you that if they would just listen to you, maybe they wouldn't have to make?
Well, yeah, I think obviously startups, you know, the last thing they want to do is spend money on legal expenses and paperwork starting up, and which is as understandable. So, you know, a lot of them will go off on their own, or they'll form their own company or go to LegalZoom, which are all great services. But at some point, the idea is we like to prepare our clients for success. And when you, you know, oftentimes our clients will be acquired, and when, you know, they'll get this list of items from the company buying them, is you need to, you produce all, you know, the intellectual property assignment documents from all your employees you have from the beginning of time. And they'll say, wait, well, we didn't have those for the first 5 years of existence, or, you know, our first 10 employees. And a lot of times those people have gone on and left, and they were instrumental in producing the core product. So it's just really kind of painful as it is talking to an attorney early on, getting your ducks in a row from a paperwork perspective, make sure that everything your employees do that the company owns, make sure that, you know, the capitalization of your company straight. You don't grant, you know, too many options and stuff to your employees early on, and just trying to keep things tight and clean. So when you do have that, you know, success and exit, that you're ready and not scrambling.
Absolutely. Well, you are, you're focused on one of the really hot sectors here, which is video game companies, right?
That's right.
So you tell us a little bit about how that sector is doing in our area.
Sector's doing really well. I've been fortunate enough to work with some video game companies in the area. Epic Games is one of the one that's probably a little, you know, better known. And there are a lot of video game companies here who've done well. I guess the challenge that, you know, all video game companies are facing is, you know, kind of the move away from console games to more online games, tablets, phones. Because when I was growing up, you know, people were used to paying, you know, $20 for an Atari cartridge, and
right,
then you're getting older, $50-$60 for a, you know, a disc. But people these days are expecting all their games to be free. So it's been a challenge for companies to understand, you know, how do you still make great games, great content, but for a lot cheaper, you know? And a lot of that is gone the way of, you know, microtransactions, where you'll have in-transaction purchases, sometimes subscriptions to games. And it's a challenge the industry is facing, and is still trying to figure out, you know, which way to go there. Because the world's changed, and they have to realize that people are playing their games on tablets and phones now, for the most part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, how are we doing in terms of encouraging this sector here in the Raleigh Research Triangle, and what could be done to encourage it more?
I think we're doing a great job. There's been some great business leaders in the area who formed the Triangle Game Initiative, which was kind of a group that kind of wanted to wave the flag and say, hey, you know, we have a lot of video game companies here. You know, bring your game company here. If you're talented and you want to work in the game industry, come here. And every year there's the East Coast Game Conference every spring in Raleigh, which is a two-day event, which is I think one of the largest on the East Coast for video games. And it brings in a lot of, you know, good content, good speakers, and just trying to make the, you know, the country more aware that this is a viable area for video games. Of course, you have the Northwest with the Seattle area, and of course the Bay Area, and then, you know, Southern California, the entertainment industry. By just letting the world know that, you know, video games are doing well here, it's a great place to work and start your video game company.
So do you get to go to any of these fun events since you're working with the video game companies?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to go to some of them. It's interesting, you know, it's a fun clients to work with, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's a business. It's like a lot of startups, and it's tough because it's, you know, kind of entertainment industry, so it's very fickle. A lot of companies will have one big hit, and then they try to replicate that. It's tough. But it's really fun, interesting people to work with, very creative people. And it's really going more and more towards the kind of entertainment Hollywood side.
So how have you been growing this business? How do you find these gaming companies? I mean, a lot of them really are sort of started in a garage or in a den or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just mostly like word of mouth. As I've been fortunate enough to work with Epic Games for over 10 years, and they've been very successful, and a lot of their successful people have gone on to start their own company. So I've been fortunate enough to, you know, work with some of them, like recently Cliff Blazinski, who was one of their first employees and key individuals for years. He started Boss Key Productions, which is based in Raleigh now.
Yep.
And so I'm fortunate enough to work with them as well. And that's what this area is gonna need, is more people like Cliff, who are very successful, you know, at Epic and other big companies, go off and start their own companies. And you kind of have that snowball effect like you have in the Silicon Valley area with companies. That's what this area needs. I think in the whole startup area, this past week, we saw our Appia, you know, it got acquired, and that was exciting. And hopefully that will be good for this area to show the world that, you know, we have really good companies here, acquire them, keep them here. The people who have good exits can put more money out in the area and just have that snowball effect.
Well, and as Ben was saying, you know, the key is having the talent available. And, you know, you just talked about one of the big ways that talent is created, and that is with successful companies. And then, you know, some of the folks leave and go out and start their own companies. And then they have successful companies, and some of their people leave and go out and start some more successful companies. And before you know it, we have a whole big talent pool here.
Yeah, exactly. That's our goal here.
It is. So, well, Zach, how does somebody reach you and Wyrick Robbins if they want to get in touch with you to talk to you?
Sure. Our website is wyrick.com, W-Y-R-I-C-K, and I'm at zbishop@wyrick.com. And also our phone number is 919-781-4000.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It sounds like you've got a really interesting area of practice, and we'll come back a little bit later and talk a little bit more about the topic of startup companies.
Sounds good. Thanks.
So, Chip and Betty, first of all, thanks for being patient while I talk to Ben and Zach. So tell us what it means to be a franchise consultant.
Well, thank you, Cal. We appreciate being here. And Chip and Betty Fudge sounds more like a cookie company than a franchise consultancy. We appreciate that.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, that's quite all right. You know, with a name like Chip Fudge, first grade was rough. But since then, you know, people remember your name.
Yeah.
I got to say that I didn't hear who our other guests were going to be. And I almost want to hear more from Ben, because I think he can do a lot more to help grow my business than I have any idea how to do. And it's interesting that Zach from Wyrick Robbins is here, because when people come to us and ask about a franchise attorney, you know, should I talk to an attorney? The first thing we tell them is not to go with just a regular corporate attorney. They'll tell you they can look at franchise law, but go to a franchise specialist. And Wyrick Robbins is one of the companies in town that have franchise specialists, so you're one of the people we recommend. In fact, we have good relationships with some of your attorneys, and we love your company, by the way. So very, very sharp guys.
Thanks.
But to get back to answering your question, Cal, At TossTheBoss.today, we are franchise matchmakers. We match an individual's talent, skills, and financial goals to find their ideal franchise business. We specialize in franchise businesses that are low investment, higher return, and rapid break-even. One of the great things about buying a franchise is a franchise's predictability. If you think about it, there are already hundreds of people who are operating that very same business under the very same signage, doing exactly the same marketing that you would do if you owned that franchise. An existing franchise owner, for example, in, say, Charlotte, doesn't care if you open the same franchise in Raleigh. So they're completely unbiased. They've already experienced running that very same business. So we teach people to take the time to call existing franchise owners and seek an unbiased assessment from people who operate that identical business day in and day out. So we are part matchmaker, part educator, and part coach. We're assisting people in bringing their own unique talents and goals to their own exploration of franchise businesses. So TossTheBoss.today is kind of like the eHarmony of the franchise industry. We help a wide variety of people.
I love it, the eHarmony of the franchise business. Wow. Okay. So let's talk about what type of person you're actually helping. So who would be your client or your customer?
Yeah, good question. We work with people typically who are at a crossroads. Often they don't enjoy their work anymore or they hate their boss. Hence the name, TossTheBoss.today. I see Ben smiling. He's thinking, I hope none of my employees are listening to this. They don't want no ideas here. Or they've hit a glass ceiling, and they're not making the income they desire. Often, since many of the people we work with are still employed, they cannot afford to leave their current job. So we teach them how to keep their job while building a franchise business. We also help the person who's been laid off or lost their job. Often people don't see the hatchet coming before it falls.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the key reasons that Benny and I bought our first franchise back in the 90s. We knew that if we didn't own the business, the owners weren't going to be looking out for us. So people who lose their jobs are usually thinking about jumping right back into that employment pool. But once you get burned enough, you start thinking about the next time. So often it takes someone getting laid off two or three times before they call us. But when they do, they're very committed to taking control of their life. And finally, we also work with what we call the active investor, someone who already owns a franchise or other business, and they're looking to grow through diversification. And it's always fun to work with professional investors because they've already worked through a lot of the misconceptions of franchise ownership.
So how do you go about finding these folks that become your customers?
Well, most of what we do is word of mouth.
Okay.
We've been at this for, since 2001. We've helped hundreds of people. And frankly, we get a lot of referrals. But in terms of proactively creating new business, we're on the internet. I mean, I think we do some of the typical stuff. That's why I was so interested in what Ben was talking about over here.
Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about the biggest misconceptions people have about finding a franchise. What are some of those misconceptions and how can you help them get over those misconceptions?
Well, Cal, what you need to understand, I think, is that people are scared. They don't want to make a bad investment. So they get focused on things that people have to have, like food. Everybody's got to eat. The problem they're creating for themselves is that they're focusing on the widget rather than their own goals. You need to be asking yourself, what kind of lifestyle do you enjoy? What do you enjoy doing? Are you the kind of person who likes to socialize with other people, or you prefer to work behind the scenes? We teach self-analysis first before we teach market analysis. People see business as being the dream, not a vehicle for achieving the dream. The business is not the dream. The business is what allows you to achieve your dreams. One time I spoke to a gentleman who had owned a bike shop, and it was kind of an interesting story. He started because he loved bicycles. And he used to ride with his buddies every day, and he read all the latest magazines. He was a real aficionado on bicycling, and his buddies recognized that. So they kind of encouraged him to start a bike shop. So one day he quit his job, and he opened his bike shop. Well, guess when people shop for bicycles? They buy them on evenings and weekends. And these were the same times that he used to go riding with his buddies. So by starting a business that he thought he would love, he actually had to give up the activities that he loved. So we kind of help people avoid making the same mistakes.
So I was going to actually ask you, the next question I had in mind was, so if you love a product or a service, is that the franchise you should buy?
It was really not a good reason to buy. Just because I love a particular company's yogurt, say, doesn't mean I'm equipped to manage numerous unskilled employees or deal with those kind of evenings and weekend hours. I may not be equipped to handle the kind of turnover that you see in those employees, even if I love the yogurt. Mm-hmm. So, and we just see this way too often. We have to spend a lot of time helping people assess their own skills and desires and recognize that you're the best asset you've got, not the particular product or service that you see somebody else hawking out there.
So let's go back to the idea of keeping your current job and starting a franchise. Is that a good idea?
Well, yeah. In fact, about half the people we work with keep their current job while building their franchise business. There's some excellent franchisees that are actually, or franchises rather, that are actually designed for the delegator personality. They're perfect for people who want to keep their job. They have a manager-run business. And so it's a day-to-day business that I don't have to be there because I have a manager running it. And one of the things we help people focus on is their role as the business owner. We help them research what the owner's role has historically been for the franchises they're looking at and be certain it can and provide the lifestyle they're looking for. But whether it's a recession or a great economy, you know, we're big fans of franchising. Whether you want to keep your job or you want to jump in full time, there's probably a franchise for you.
All right. Well, you've talked to us a lot about, you know, what you should think about and why a franchise business may be right for somebody, or maybe why it's not right for somebody. And I'm just curious, you mentioned, you know, the franchises being the way, the business being the way to the dream, not the dream. So can people really replace their day job income with income from a franchise?
And exceed it by quite a bit. You know, I think the key is that you have to recognize first, what is, as I said, what are you trying to do financially, mm-hmm. if you're yep. talking specifically about financials. If you want to keep your job, it's going to take a little bit longer to replace that income because you're going to be paying a manager. You're probably going to have a fixed location, so you're going to have some build out, real estate, that sort of thing. So you can add a few months or even a year or so to replacing that income. Other people who say, you know, I'm really tired of this job, or they recently lost their job, might want to jump in with both feet, and we might consider a service business or something for them that they can immediately start. The key to all of this is understanding before you invest in the franchise what you can expect historically the returns have been. And that goes back to my example of the person in Charlotte versus Raleigh. Talking to people that have already been there, they've already done that, and finding out what they experienced, and then balancing that with your own needs. So mm-hmm. we hope that, you know, you're gonna live off savings for just a little while, and pretty soon you're gonna have money coming in. But of course, the idea is, how soon can I replace that income? And that's gonna vary with the franchise. And that's one of the things we ask people, because that does impact the franchises we recommend.
Absolutely. Well, this is all very interesting. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you to talk about your matchmaking services with a franchise, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way to reach me is at info@tosstheboss.today. I would recommend they go on our website. We have a contact form. We ask you to fill it out. And the only reason we don't ask you to call in directly is that we need to get your information so we can get you with the right person and,
sure.
and chatting. But if they'll go to tosstheboss.today or email us at info@tosstheboss.today, that's the best way to get a hold of us.
All right. Well, that should be an easy website to remember, tosstheboss.today. Okay, that I think ranks right up there as the most original website names I've ever heard. So that's a good one. All right. Well, we got a few minutes left here before we wrap up. And it sounds to me like everybody sitting around this table is either starting a business or building a business or helping someone who is starting a business. So let's talk a little bit about what advice each of you would give to someone who's thinking about starting a business today in the Triangle. So Zach, this is your day job, okay? Helping folks that are starting businesses or growing businesses or maybe selling a business and getting ready to invest in a new one or something like that. How about a couple of must-dos for the next great entrepreneur in RTP?
I think the first one I'm repeating myself is, you know, join CED. Mm-hmm. It's a great resource. There's so many good people there, and it helps you really plug into the community. And along those same lines, it's just network with people in the entrepreneurial community. There's so many people here who want to help, who have been there before, who are there to mentor you, you know, formally or informally, give you advice. There are countless people who have been successful here in that area. So I'd say join CED, go to their events, you know, get plugged in and just, you know, put your head down and make it happen.
And what about you, Chip or Betty? What advice do you have for somebody who is considering becoming a franchisee?
The first thing I would say is take an honest assessment of your personal skills, what you're good at and what your weaknesses are. The second important thing is to look at your financial wherewithal. Not only how much money you have in the bank and savings, but how much are you willing to invest? And look at that carefully and create a timeline for how long you can keep your household running during the ramp up. It's important. We don't want you to get all the way almost to the finish line and then run out of money.
Absolutely. And Ben, maybe a lesson learned that you'd like to share with a would-be entrepreneur?
You know, I think the best thing as an entrepreneur that you've got to, or at least you have to be prepared with, is flexibility, right? So you're starting a business, a lot of times the path that you go down is one of kind of a hypothesis, and then at a certain point, and maybe you shift the business significantly or you tweak, but you have to be prepared to take the good opinions of a network like one that you could get at CED or your own employees and remain flexible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love to hear success stories. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about what's going on. Ben, you're obviously living a success story right now. You wouldn't have been recognized the way you have been recognized with the company if it wasn't. What key decisions or actions did you take or make that put you on this path to success early on, do you think?
At an individual level, or are you,
or in the company, even the founders? I know you've only been there for, you know, the past few years, or whatever. What do you think? Just a couple of the key decisions, maybe, that they made that really put them on the path to the success they're having today.
I go back to the flexibility. I think a lot of the reason why we've been around for 15 years is because the founders had a good idea of what they thought the market would look like, and then they were open to adapt. And then I'll go back to another point that I made earlier, which is putting the right people in the right place to be successful, and then giving them the kind of leeway that they can really just take your business to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. So relying on that team of talent.
That's
once
right.
Once again.
Yeah.
Yep. Chip or Betty, is there a success story you'd like to share?
I don't know if I call it a success story. We've got too many, I guess. we're huge fans of franchising, obviously. And Betty and I have owned several businesses together. I mean, she's always been the boss, so maybe she should talk. But we've done both franchises, and we've done startups that we've done. Now, we're not like Ben. We're not real good at the startup thing. when it comes to franchising, we've helped so many people. I think the number one thing I would tell people is that faith is the opposite of fear, and don't make decisions based on fear. I think too many times we see people, they want to break out of the lifestyle they've got. They want something better for their children and that sort of thing. You know, if you do the proper research, especially with a franchise, it's very predictable. It's a very predictable business if you're willing to do the research. And so we want to get them to do the research. But, you know, once you've done that, start trusting yourself. Don't let fear guide you, but jump in after you've done the research and give yourself a shot at it. I think any entrepreneur would agree, you know, you got to go for it.
Yep.
So you can't just sit back.
All right. And Zach, we're back to you. I know you have a number of very successful clients. Would you like to tell us about one of them and what you feel was a deciding factor in their success?
Sure. I've been fortunate to work with the Royalty Exchange, which is a company based here in Raleigh that what they do is they help people monetize any royalty stream that they may own. And it was founded by Sean Peace, who was worked at a large RDP firm, and he just his real passion was music and helping songwriters and others make money off their songs and IP. And so it was a typical startup story. They bootstrapped, got some angel investing, and they were able to raise a Series A rounds. And now what they're trying to do is really change the royalty world, where if you have a royalty in music, oil and gas, pharma, if you have that, a lot of times those get paid out over several years. And what they do is let people monetize them right away, and others can buy that stream. So it's really groundbreaking stuff, and it's really cool, but it's really impressive how Sean's gone about it. I mean, just passionate about it, and you can't do that, a lot of legal issues, it's like, securities law stuff, like they're just everything in the world, but he's just persevered, and they're doing well, and making money, and it's really neat to see kind of an idea grow into like a viable business with numerous employees and lots of revenue.
Well, it sounds like a whole new business, and that's great. We have lots of success stories here in RTP, luckily, and that's what's helping to grow RTP and make it a great place to do business. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of another great show. Thanks to all of you for being on Metro Raleigh Business Radio this morning. This is the place where we help business leaders get the word out, and I hope we've helped you get the word out about your businesses this morning. We've been broadcasting live from our studios at our power partner, the Wireless Research Center of North Carolina here in Wake Forest. And I'd also like to thank our other power partners, North Carolina Technology Association and EntreDOT, for helping spread the word about what business leaders are doing here in Metro Raleigh. I look forward to bringing you another exciting and informative show next week on Metro Raleigh Business Radio. So on behalf of our guest and our producer, this is Cal Hackman, your host, signing off for now.